Today, a message that I'm entitling, The End of the Circle. The End of the Circle. This is a message I had the third when we dedicated Martin and Nancy's baby. And you guys pulled the little appreciation thing on me. And thank you very much for all the gifts and money. And those are the sentiments of Judy also. But we were not expecting it, and but it was so sweet, and we do appreciate it. The end of the circle. The thought is that oftentimes we live in a life, I see so many believers living a life that is a continuous negative circle. Going around the same mountain, fighting the same battles, living in a defeated life continuously, only reaping what they have sown in a negative way. And what I want to share with you today is coming to the end of that circle. I want you to know today that even though you have done some mess ups, even though there are some things in our lives that we may even regret doing, I want you to still know that the Bible teaches me that all things work together for good for those that love God and for those that are the called according to His purpose. I want you to know today that you don't have to continue to reap what you've sown, but that if you do things correctly, God will take even the bad things, the mess ups in our lives, and turn them into good for you and for your children. And for your children's children, and for your children to the fourth generation. I want you to go out of here knowing that today. I want you to know how to work this. I want you to know it's a promise. But I want you to know how to bring it to fulfillment. We hear so much today about generational curses. I want you to know I have generational blessings. Even though my parents or grandparents along the way screwed up and messed up things, I want you to know God works that for good in my life. With that said, we're going to read one verse. Say, huh? We're going to read one verse. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to go to work. Will you stand? Let's read this verse together. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'd like for you to have it, look at it in your Bible after you've sat down. We're going to leave it up there for a little while, but I want you to turn in your Bible, maybe do a little marking. I like to mark my Bible. It's my road map. When I go someplace, I take a map and I mark it. Because this is where I want to go. So there are certain things in my Bible that are marked because they're a roadmap to me. Let's read out loud as you will. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now I want to read it just one more time, and I want to pause occasionally and get you to repeat some thoughts that I really want to emphasize. Let's read it again. And we know. Pause. What does that say? We know. We're supposed to know this. We know that all things. How many things? All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Father, we ask You now to bless this time. Lord, we don't have to ask You to bless Your Word. Your Word is blessed. We ask You to bless us, that we can hear it. Open our ears, that we can truly hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, let us learn that as believers in Your kingdom, that You take our mess-ups, our foul-ups, the things that we should reap a negative thing from, but You can take that and make it something good. I pray, Lord God, today that we can grasp this thought. Learn that this is a promise, and that there are two prerequisites. I ask You to show us this today. Put this into our hearts and our spirits. That we can end the circle. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. In the circle. I just want to set today. I don't know how long I'll set. But I just want to set with you and just talk. First of all, let's fill in your blanks. The scriptures say how many things work? All things work together for good. This is a promise to us. This is a promise. Now, it means that not only the spiritual things that I do work together for good, it doesn't mean that only the good things that I do work together for good. It means that all things that I do work together for good. It means my failures as well as my triumphs work together for good. It means my weaknesses as well as my strengths work together for good. It means my mess-ups as well as my up-ups work together for good. All things work together for good. Now, is this happening in your life? Here's where we're at. Does this work in your... It's a promise. It says, and we know. We see that it's a promise. We know that it's a promise to us, but is this really happening for you? Or do you continuously find yourself fighting the same battles every year, every month, every day? Are your finances getting better? Is your marriage getting better? Are your children better? Are all things getting better, working together for good in your life? Or do you find yourself in this continuous, endless circle that you wish somehow you could find the end to? Well, it should. Even your mess-ups. All things are to work together for good for us, the believer, who's walking in His kingdom. God came to give us, Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. Now, abundance to me doesn't mean just being able to pay my bills. Abundance to me just doesn't mean making it through the day or through the week. Abundance to me just doesn't mean just being able to suck air and stay alive. It means a healthy body. Abundance to me means a healthy checking account, a healthy marriage, a healthy family. These are what abundance means to me. And if these are not happening in your life, you're in a circle. An endless, tired, weary circle that you can't find the end to. And it shouldn't be that way. You're living in Galatians 6. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you're sowing, that's what you're reaping. I want you to come to Romans 8. I want things to work together for good for you. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you've done. I want you to end the bad harvest. And I want things to start coming in good in your life. That's what I want to relay to you today. It's a promise, is it not? Does He say, and we know this? We know it, but does it work in our life this way? It should. And if it's not, there's two reasons, only two. He gives here in this verse two prerequisites to this happening. There's two prerequisites. Only two. If things in your life are not good, if things are not working continuously good for you, one of these two reasons, or possibly both, are the culprits. Now let's look at these. The first one, he says, is all things work together for good to them that love God. That love God. The Greek word there for love is agapeo. It's the God kind of love. It means that it's the love of God. It's the eternal love. It means all these things. But that doesn't help me a lot if I'm in an endless circle, just knowing the Greek here. But I know about love. And I know how love changes in its dimensions. And I know that love is bigger than anyone can explain. And what I want to do right now is give you three, or the ABCs, if you will, of love. Three things that are constant in love. If you love someone, then these three things are constant in this relationship. ABC. ABCs of love. If you love God, then these three things are going to be there. It's the way we're made. It's the way we are created. And so I want us to give ourselves a little litmus test. I want you to check yourself out and grade yourself. Do I love God? By these ABCs. I want you to look at these three things and see how you are loving God. Because if you're not loving God, then things are not going to work good in your life, and you're only going to harvest what you've sown and not have what you've sown, though bad, turn to good. ABCs. A. Now, this isn't on your notes. You've got to jot this down. A, communication. Talk. When you love someone, you want to talk to them. You can't help it. You want to hear their voice. You want to communicate your thoughts. You want to share your heart. You can't help it. A is talk, communication. B, always a consistent factor in love is you want to serve or you want to do something for the person that you love. Now, I'll hit this again in just a minute, but the B, the serving, we think of serving in humanity as slavery. That's not the biblical definition for servitude. Serving in the Bible is love. If I love God, then I'll serve God. I don't serve God because He makes me serve Him. I serve Him because I want to serve Him. A, talk, communication. B, servitude, serving, doing things. And C, presence. You want to be in their presence. You want to be with that person. You want to be with God. Now, I want to talk about all three of these just for a moment and elaborate on them just some. Just so we'll all make sure and have a good litmus test that we can look at. A, talk or communicate with God. Do you remember how it was when you first fell in love with your spouse? You invented ways. You created ways to talk. I remember when I began seeing Judy. I was, I think, 16. She was 14. And we didn't fall in love immediately. We had this "I hate you, I love you" relationship. And then, but I remember when we finally began to really become serious with one another, and I wanted to talk to her. I remember in my home, this was in like 1966 or something, a long time ago. This was before cordless telephones. In fact, I'm not even sure the phone had been invented very long. And I remember in our living room, we only had one phone in the house, but I discovered that if I was to stretch that telephone out as far as I could, I could get it under the door and close that door where everybody else was in there watching television and doing their thing. I could get out in this little foyer area and talk to Judy. And we would talk for hours. And we would talk about nothing. And, you know, and it would every day we were finding something to talk about, even though it meant nothing. We just talked. We just wanted to talk because we were falling in love. And 33 years later, I'm still talking to Judy. But I don't find myself stretching that telephone cord around. You see, back then, the love was stirred up in emotions. It was built on emotions, and that's good. That's the way God has created us. When we first are attracted to someone, there's a lot of emotions in there, a lot of feelings. It's easy to get hurt. It's easy to do something. It's easy to you're so emotional. Every emotional part of you is stirred up. God's made us that way. But 33 years later, I don't feel those emotions. In fact, there are days now that we'll go without talking at all. She'll go do her thing. I'll go do my thing. We won't even be in the same town. We're in the same town, same house. We're talking, okay? Understand what I'm trying to say here. But if she's off doing something, we don't feel compelled that we have to talk every day. Now, the difference, though, is this, is because it's changed. Love changes. Love maturates. It changes. It grows. It develops. When in those initial stages, we talked for hours and hours about nothing. Oh, we would talk about her sisters and my sister, and we would talk about moms and dads and horses and schools and bookwork and book reports and just anything we could talk about. Now, 33 years later, we're still talking, but what we talk about is eternal. Back then, it meant nothing. It was so temporal. Today, it means something because it's eternal, and it's based on what we have produced out of our love. We talk about our children. We talk about our grandchildren. We talk about our church. We talk about your situations. We pray for you. We think on eternal things now. Now, the reason I did all of this was just to show you if we love God, this is how it is. When we first come into the kingdom of God, we want to talk to God, but we really don't know what to talk about. We don't know what He wants to talk about. We're just talking. And so we talk. And it doesn't mean a whole lot. We're asking Him for this and we're asking Him for that. We want this and we want that. And we're sharing this and we're talking about that. But after you serve the Lord a long time, if you've properly matured in the things of God, you'll find yourself asking for very little, but talking about eternal things. Saturday, I was in here praying, and I've been on vacation, and I haven't prayed as much as I normally pray. And I was in here praying, and I prayed, you know, the normal thing, you know, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done, all those. I prayed that just to make sure I'd covered that. And then I just began talking to the Lord. Just began praying. Just began communicating to the Lord. And an hour and a half later, I was still talking to the Lord. I was telling the Lord about my life. I was thanking Him for everything and asking Him for nothing. I went through that whole time not asking the Lord for anything, but thanking Him for everything. I was sharing with Him my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my loves. I was just talking to the Lord. And it was so good. Because when you love somebody, you want to talk to them.